Akashwani presents Morning News. Good morning, I'm Anuja Kumar. The headlines. Prime Minister Narendra Modi to embark on a two-nation visit to Japan and China this evening. Indian Air Force launches extensive relief and rescue operations in Jammu region and northern Punjab following floods triggered by heavy rains. UIDAI asks schools across the country to complete Aadhaar biometric updates of children aged 5 to 15 years without delay. Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana completes 11 years today. And Union Cabinet approves submission of bid for 2030 Commonwealth Games. And now the news in detail. Prime Minister Narendra Modi will embark on a visit to Japan this evening to participate in the 15th India-Japan Annual Summit. This will be Prime Minister Modi's eighth visit to Japan and the first summit with his counterpart Shigeru Ishiba. External Affairs Ministry said in a statement that during the visit, the two Prime Ministers will review the special strategic and global partnership between India and Japan, including defence and security, trade and economy, technology and innovation, and people-to-people exchange. They will also discuss issues of regional and global importance. The visit will reaffirm the long-standing special bond of friendship between the two countries. Indian Ambassador to Japan C.B. George told Akashwani News that Prime Minister's visit to Japan will open fresh avenues of cooperation between the two countries. He said the high-level engagement will drive the agenda of the India-Japan Special Strategic and Global Partnership. A report.
Ambassador of India to Japan C.B. George said that a special strategic and global partnership is very important and India-Japan have no history of conflict. He said that both countries' relationship has bilateral and plural both aspects in it.
Very few countries have the relationship, we call it special, but we call it between India and Japan, it is special. It is a partnership, it is strategic and also it is global. It has both bilateral and plural aspect in it. When you look at the bilateral, we have seen a complete transformation in the relationship in the last 10 years.
Ambassador of India to Japan highlighted that India is in the middle of Amrit Kal journey and this journey is to make India a developed country. He said that Japan has been working with India to make country a manufacturing hub.
Japan has always been a partner for India in its manufacturing sector, automobile sector. It got transformed with the arrival of Japanese companies some 40 years back, the Suzuki company, and now it has been transformed. This is an area where Japan is working with India to contribute to its becoming a manufacturing hub.
In India's Amrit Kal journey, Japan will continue to be a major reliable partner. Just like automobile sector, there are other manufacturing sectors seeing progress. Om Awasthi, Akashwani News, Tokyo.
In the second leg of his visit, the Prime Minister will travel to China from 31st of August to 1st September to attend the Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit in Tianjin at the invitation of Chinese President Xi Jinping. On the sidelines of the summit, the Prime Minister is expected to hold bilateral meetings with several leaders attending the summit. India has been a member of SCO since 2017. It held the presidency of the Council of Heads of State of SCO during 2022-23. Prime Minister Narendra Modi had a telephonic conversation with President of Finland, Alexander Stubb, yesterday. In a social media post, Mr. Modi said, "Finland is a valued partner in the European Union." Both leaders discussed ways to strengthen cooperation in key sectors such as trade, technology and sustainability. They exchanged perspectives on the ongoing efforts for peaceful resolution of the conflict in Ukraine. The Unique Identification Authority of India, UIDAI, has asked schools across the country to ensure timely Aadhaar mandatory biometric updates for children in the age group of 5 to 15 years. In a statement, Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology said that UIDAI CEO Bhuvnesh Kumar has also written to all the chief secretaries of states and union territories, apprising them of the initiative and requesting them to support in conducting targeted mandatory biometric update camps. The ministry said UIDAI and the Ministry of Education has also collaborated to facilitate pending biometric updates in Aadhaar on Unified District Information System for Education Plus platform for nearly 17 crore children. The Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana completes 11 years today. It is one of the biggest financial inclusion initiatives in the world, which was announced by Prime Minister Narendra Modi on 15th of August 2014 from the ramparts of the Red Fort. While launching the program on the 28th of August 2014, the Prime Minister had described the occasion as a festival to celebrate the liberation of the poor from a vicious cycle. More from our correspondent.
Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana is a national mission on financial inclusion which has an integrated approach to bring about comprehensive financial inclusion and provide banking services to all households in the country. The scheme ensures access to a range of financial services like availability of basic saving bank account, access to need-based credit, remittances facility, insurance and pension. Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana provides a platform for universal access to banking facilities with at least one basic banking account for every household, financial literacy and access to credit, insurance and pension facility. It covers both urban and rural areas, and those who open account would get indigenous debit card, rupee card. Account can be opened in any bank branch or business correspondent bank mitra outlet at zero balance. Every bank account is on core banking system of banks. Mobile banking using USSD facility available on every basic feature phones is also being supported. With Anupam Mishra, Aman Yadav, Akashvani News, Delhi.
In Chhattisgarh, 30 Maoists surrendered in Bijapur district yesterday. 20 of them were carrying cash reward of 81 lakh rupees. Police said surrendered Maoists were involved in various incidents. Bijapur SP Jitendra Yadav said they were given an incentive of 50,000 rupees each under the state government's rehabilitation policy.
30 माओवादियों ने बीजापुर पुलिस के समक्ष आत्मसमर्पण किया है। कुल इनके ऊपर 81 लाख का इनाम था। इसमें मुख्य रूप से उत्तर बस्तर डिवीजन का एक डीवीसीएम रैंक का माओवादी आत्मसमर्पण किया है। इसके अलावा कंपनी नंबर 2 के 5 सदस्य, इसी प्रकार एरिया कमेटी लेवल के भी 5 सदस्य, अलग-अलग आरपीसी जनताना सरकार सदस्य हैं और अलग-अलग डीएकेएमएस के सदस्य भी इसमें शामिल हैं।
This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. The Indian Air Force has launched extensive relief and rescue missions in response to the rising water levels and devastating floods caused in Jammu region and northern Punjab. The Defence Ministry in a statement said, Indian Air Force has deployed helicopter fleet, transport aircraft and other IAF assets for the support of the affected. It also pointed out about the rescue missions done in Akhnoor area of Jammu, Pathankot and Dera Baba Nanak area of Punjab to safeguard the life of armed personnel. The ministry said the IAF stands ready to undertake further missions as the situation evolves. The flood fury in Punjab is continuing unabated. Several villages and hundreds of acres of agricultural land are inundated in Gurdaspur, Firozpur, Fazilka, Kapurthala, Amritsar, Hoshiarpur and Tarantaran districts. More from our correspondent.
As Bias and Satluj rivers both are in spate due to heavy rain in higher reaches of Himachal Pradesh, the reservoirs of all three dams, Ranjit Sagar, Pong and Bhakra dams, are full to the brim, requiring the authorities to make controlled release of water to save dams. Choppers of Indian Air Force and boats of NDRF and BSF have jointly evacuated thousands of people, including Army, CRPF, BSF personnel and 400 students and teachers from Gurdaspur School, besides Pathankot, Firozpur and some other affected areas. Rajesh Bali, Akashvani News, Jalandhar.
In Himachal Pradesh, efforts are underway to bring life back on track after the recent heavy rainfall. Due to landslides and floods, 2 national highways and 582 roads are closed for traffic. A report.
The spell of monsoon rains continues intermittently in Himachal Pradesh. The Meteorological Department has issued a yellow alert for heavy rain in Una, Hamirpur, Mandi, Shimla and Sirmaur. Thousands of devotees on the Mani Mahesh Yatra in Chamba district are stranded at various places. The administration has accommodated them in safe shelters. 310 people have lost their lives so far during this monsoon season in Himachal Pradesh, while 38 are still missing. Heavy rains have damaged more than 3,500 houses across the state. Prabha Sharma, Akashvani News, Shimla.
In Telangana, extremely heavy rain battered Kamareddy, Medak and Nirmal districts, while many other areas across the state received heavy rainfall. More from a correspondent.
The national and state disaster response teams have rescued thousands of people who were stuck in floods yesterday. The situation in towns in Medak and Nirmal is still grim as residential areas have been flooded and hundreds of people have been moved to safety. Streams and rivulets are flowing to the brim and at some places water flowing over the bridges, disconnecting dozens of villages with the rest of the world. South Central Railway cancelled and rescheduled about 30 trains passing through the rain-affected areas. State government has appointed special officers to monitor rescue and relief measures. Lakshmi, Akashwani News, Hyderabad.
Ganesh Chaturthi, Maharashtra's biggest festival, was transformed from a private ritual into a public celebration by freedom fighter Bal Gangadhar Tilak during India's independence movement. His vision turned devotion into a unifying force against British rule and resulted in the festival's modern grandeur. We have more from a correspondent.
The credit for giving Ganesh Utsav a public form goes to Lokmanya Bal Gangadhar Tilak. In 1893 in Pune, he initiated the celebration in this manner with the primary aim to instilling a spirit of unity and nationalism among Indians under the oppressive rule of the British. Since then, this festival has been celebrated across Maharashtra. This year onward, the government of Maharashtra has officially declared Ganesh Utsav as a state festival. People from all walks of life and of every age group participated enthusiastically in the celebrations. The grand processions, decorative tablets, vibrant illuminations and festive decorations create a joyous, magnificent atmosphere. Madhav Jaibhai, Akashwani News, Pune.
And now news from the world of sports.
The Union Cabinet has approved India's bid to host the Commonwealth Games 2030 in Ahmedabad, Gujarat. The Narendra Modi Stadium, having successfully hosted the 2023 Cricket World Cup final, will be a key venue. The games are expected to boost tourism, create employment across multiple sectors, and inspire widespread sporting participation nationwide. In badminton, India made a strong showing at the BWF World Championship 2025 in Paris. Sattvik Sairaj Ranki Reddy and Chirag Shetty advanced to the round of 16 after defeating Chinese Taipei Liu and Yang. PV Sindhu overcame a tough challenge from Malaysia's Letsana, while Dhruv Kapila and Tanisha Krasto cruised past their Irish opponents. HS Pranoy and the mixed pair Rohan Kapoor and Rutvika Shivani Gadde are set to play today. In the Under-17 Women's SAFF Championship in Thimphu, India continued their dominance, defeating hosts Bhutan 5-0. Anushka Kumari starred again with two goals and an assist, taking India's goal tally to 22 without conceding any goal. And at the US Open Tennis Tournament, Novak Djokovic defeated American Zachary Swaida in straight sets. In women's singles, Naomi Osaka and Mira Andreeva also progressed with straight set victories. With Mayur Jain, Jigyasa Pandey, Sports Desk.
In the U.S., two children were killed and 17 injured in an attack on a Catholic church in Minneapolis yesterday. Police said the shooter fired through chapel windows during a student mass before taking his own life. Of the 17 injured, 14 are children. And now for a look at today's newspapers, it's over to Renu Kataria.
Thank you, Anuja. Quoting a top Trump administration official, Hindustan Times writes, U.S. India will eventually unite on issues as additional 50% U.S. tariff comes into force. The paper cites about communication channels still being open. A headline in Financial Express notes, textile exporters may move abroad to cater to U.S. market. Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Egypt and Jordan may serve as conduits. The Indian Express reports, soon apply for a marriage certificate or driver's license on WhatsApp. India projected to become world's second largest economy in purchasing power parity terms by 2038, according to a report, writes the Statesman. The Times of India writes, Delhi's per capita income close to 5 lakh rupees, currently number 2 among states. And finally, the pioneer states, Cabinet clears 2030 CWG bid, India also aiming for the 2036 Olympic Games, calling Ahmedabad as a front-runner host city for both events. And with that, it's back to you, Anuja.
Thank you, Renu. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Prime Minister Narendra Modi to embark on a two-nation visit to Japan and China this evening. Indian Air Force launches extensive relief and rescue operations in Jammu region and northern Punjab following floods triggered by heavy rains. UIDAI asks schools across the country to complete Aadhaar biometric updates of children aged 5 to 15 years without delay. Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana completes 11 years today, and Union Cabinet approves submission of bid for 2030 Commonwealth Games. And with that, we end the morning news. Have a nice day.